looked at Jake and I'm like, there's so many topics, five different ones that have happened since the start of the show. I had to write them all down to make sure we at least cover them in some way, shape, or form, and they don't get left out. So we better move quickly here. Now, real quick, I was going to talk about John Gruden and how he was going to fix the college football playoff. That is a topic that we can come back to another day. All right. But the one thing he pointed out that just made so much sense, I was like, why has this not occurred to me before? Because it's not ass of seven. It's not ass of eight, Jake. It's ass of nine. The SEC champ, top two seeds playing for the SEC championship, and the top two seeds in the Big Ten playing for the Big Ten championship. It's supposed to be a reward, right? He's like, well, what if in the NFL, the top two seeds in the NFC, which I think right now is like the Bears and the Rams, what if after the regular season was over, those two teams just played each other to determine who the number one seed is while everybody else just sat at home and had a bye? Like, how dumb would that be? That is what the Big Ten, SEC, ACC, Big 12 championship games are. So part of my fix to the college football playoff, which I will eventually get to, is having everybody play in some way, shape, or form on this championship weekend. Because, I don't know, does that not just make a lot more sense to you?
In the current structure, I just think either, yeah, there's got to be some sort of some sort of reason to play these conference championship games outside of traditional ideas of winning the conference champion. I always compare it to like winning the Atlantic Division in the NBA. Like, you don't necessarily, it doesn't matter. You know, that doesn't really determine much in the playoffs anymore. You know, it's like, sure, you wouldn't play an extra game if teams are tied at the end of the regular season in the NBA, or, you know, in pick anywhere you want to go. Like, it's nice. You still would love it. Nebraska, we'd love a conference championship, break the streak, but it doesn't really mean anything once the playoffs start.
It's like a punishment right now, to be honest with you. So you got to change that format. But again, I will revert back to that another day. It seems, based on the word on the street, and what I said about this is not an upgrade for Penn State hiring Matt Campbell. That's not a disrespectful thing to say to Matt Campbell. He's a good football coach. It's disrespectful to James Franklin because Matt Campbell is not a better football coach than James Franklin. You know, he went to Va Tech, was only there, what, a few weeks? He had the number 22 recruiting class in the country, mostly because he took half of Penn State's recruits, but that's on Penn State. And I guess some of the Penn State faithful right now are calling, let me see if I can get this right, Matt Campbell, Big 12 Franklin. That's his new nickname. What an awful nickname right out the gate. Let's see what else. I'm trying to move rather quickly here. We will do our college football championship weekend picks at the end. All right. So real quick, any final thoughts on Emmett Johnson? And then I got to go back to the defensive coordinator situation. I will say this. I'm just going to say this. This was pointed out to me on X by Jim in Minnesota. You might know him. Some people know Jim in Minnesota on X. The last defensive coordinator to beat Iowa sits right around here every morning from 6 to 9 a.m. And that guy's probably the best defensive coordinator we've had here since about 10 years ago at Nebraska. Thoughts?
I mean, it's there. Again, was the interim DC there. Definitely, you remember that year, too, and it might apply to this upcoming season. It was kind of his thing was kind of back to basic. Let's do all the little things right, and the defense did improve from there, so... Yeah, I mean, he maybe has been picking and waiting around for his certain job to come up. Maybe this would be one of them.
So Bill Bush has had offers. He's had offers, obviously. He likes what he's doing here. The offers have not been enough to draw him away from doing the morning show here on 93.7. The Ticket, early break every day, 6 to 9 a.m. But he is the last defensive coordinator to be a part of a Nebraska team that beat Iowa. Is he the best? Yes, interim defensive coordinator, because he was the special teams coordinator right before that. Who coordinates two different parts of the team in the same year? Never heard of that. Did a great job on both. They both got exponentially better, by the way. The special team, remember how bad they were the year before? And then he became the special teams coordinator. They were better. And then he went to defense, and it got better. Not great, but better during the season. There's only so much you can do during the season. All right, Bill Bush, he was not even on my list here, just because I know it's not going to happen. Like, he would take the phone call. I just know the phone call won't be made. I'm not saying that's good or bad, but I'm going to pose it this way. Is Bill Bush, albeit interim, short term, the best defensive coordinator Nebraska's had in 10 years? It's him or Tony White.
I think you'd have to probably go with Tony White based on the fact that, I mean, he was not an interim, had 2 years worth. That's no disrespect to Bill. I wouldn't. I think everybody unanimously before even got on the radio station, it's not a biased thing, wanted to see Bill Bush in some way on Nebraska's coaching staff. Or and it's very interesting to see what he could do. I mean, he's had a long, successful career everywhere he's gone.
So the fact that he was our defensive coordinator for roughly 8 games, and he is in the conversation as equivalently one of the 2 best defensive coordinators we've had in the past 10 years. It's multiple things. It's multiple things. And by the way, we've had a few defensive coordinators here. We're about to have our 3rd in the past 3.5 years under Rule. So there's been a few options to pick from here. It's a couple of things, and I'm just going to point out what one of those things it is, because the other things aren't great, and you can figure it out on your own.
I used to just go with whatever meat looked good or was on sale at the grocery store. But now that I've experienced the exceptional quality, flavor, and convenience that you can get from Omaha Steaks, I'm never going back. They can build a custom food plan based on your schedule, which means less food waste and stocking up on high-quality proteins to always have on hand. With Omaha Steaks in your freezer, you're always just minutes away from a quality dinner, whether it's Taco Tuesday or a weekend feast. Taste the Omaha Steaks difference and never settle for grocery proteins again. Get flavorful, high-quality proteins delivered by visiting omahasteaks.com, plus $35 off when you use promo code YUM at checkout. That's omahasteaks.com, code YUM. Terms apply. See site for details. Go to omahasteaks.com and use promo code YUM at checkout for $35 off. Minimum purchase may apply.
It's impressive on how good of a football coach Bill Bush is. That's what it is. Again, it's some other things as well that I won't bring up. We might as well put final... I know, we got Emmett Johnson. Here, let's put final thoughts on Emmett. We're actually back on track because we need to go to break real quick. I will put my final thoughts on the defensive coordinator as far as who I believe the home run hire would be. Anybody I hadn't covered yet. We were starting to talk about Scott Simons when a bunch of news broke. We will do all that in the last segment along with our championship picks for the weekend. Final thoughts on Emmett Johnson going pro. You got anything else you want to add, Jake?
Well, I just think it's going to be interesting as we look ahead to the bowl game, likely without Emmett Johnson. And I know a lot of people are going to say, okay, running back, transfer portal, you know, you don't have any proven, as you mentioned in that first kind of initial reaction to it, is that the bowl game might be an opportunity for one of those guys. You know, as we know, Mekhi Nelson, Quentin Ives, Mosey, I mean, all these guys have been fighting, kind of switching spot as the number 2 back. But they're going to have to run the football. Emmett Johnson goes with Emmett Johnson goes like 70% of the offense or whatever the ridiculous stat it is. They're going to have to find a different way to get this going. Remember, TJ Latif expected to play, but banged up to start, you know, bowl practice. So there's a job to be done out of Dana Holgorsen here. This is this is why you pay the money for him.
I mean, maybe we see Jalen Gromstad, the guy who came back, the guy who's been in college football a long time, coach on the field. Could it be like a Ramir Johnson story? Now, Jalen hasn't been here for 4 or 5 years like Ramir. Remember Ramir last year? What kind of a cool story that was?
Yeah.
We're just rewarding a veteran player who stayed loyal, at least during his time. We'll see. I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen. We're going to be without Rocco Spindler, going to be without Emmett Johnson. Like I said, everybody looks completely different in bowl games. I feel like I'm watching a precursor to future spring games half the time, more than I am the actual team that just played 3 or 4 weeks ago in November. I don't have anything else for Emmett Johnson. I'm going to do this just because I want to do this. And it's our show, and we can almost do what we want most of the time. So the other part of John Gruden's way to fix the college football playoff, instead of everyone sitting on their keisters at home eating mama's Christmas cookies, we've got the 3-6-4-5 Big Ten thing we've talked about, SEC, like the 3 seed playing the 6 seed, the 4 seed playing the 5 seed in the SEC, while 1 and 2 play each other in the championship. We've talked about that. Gruden had an interesting one. What if you just take the highest-ranked remaining teams across the country, regardless of conference, and they play? So, like Ohio State, Indiana, they should both be guaranteed in the playoff. Like if you're in the SEC championship game, Georgia, Alabama, you should automatically be in. Same with Big Ten championship game, you should automatically be in. But what if you took the highest ranked remaining teams and they all played each other? So like, I don't know. What if Oregon, who's sitting on their keisters eating mama's Christmas cookies this weekend up in good old Eugene, maybe they party down at Nike and then come back and watch all the games on TV. I don't know what they do. What if they actually play football? And what if instead of James Madison getting in, because what if Duke, who's barely over 500, happens to win the ACC championship game? What if James Madison plays Oregon? Like the highest ranked remaining team versus the lowest ranked remaining team that's a playoff contender. What if Ole Miss, and let's get a glimpse of what they look like without Lane Kiffin. They're probably going to be a similar team. What if they're very different? What if Ole Miss then plays, I don't know, North Texas? Again, these are play-in games. These are not play-off games. You win and you're in.
You know that's an extension of the playoffs, right?
I'm aware of that. I'm trying to get... Yes. But doesn't this make more sense than 13 guys who aren't football coaches sitting in a room and anything can happen? I like how they didn't go with 12. They're trying to avoid the whole jury thing. 13 people sitting in a room and they decide what's best? Is it not better? We don't like the computers, the BCS bullcrap system, which people all of a sudden want to romanticize now. But oh my gosh, did they hate it then. Now we don't want people making the decision. I have an idea. Let's play it on the field. Let's play football games and decide it on the field, Jake. Does that sound logical? No?
Yeah, a little bit.
A little bit. Okay. So next would be A&M, who everyone wants to slice and dice their SEC schedule, me included, by the way. They could play Tulane. And if you're like Tulane and North Texas and James Madison, who are all ranked dope along the playoff, good. Let's play these play-in games. If they win, they deserve to be in. If they don't, they're out. And I don't care if a play-in game's a blowout, because it's a play-in game, although it's technically a playoff game. It's not actually named a playoff game yet. Then you could have some actual real good matchups. Like you could have Utah, Miami, Texas, Vanderbilt. Actually, I skipped right over Notre Dame. You could have Notre Dame, USC. You could have, it would be Miami, Utah, Texas, Vanderbilt. What if we actually played these games and decided it on the field?
Notre Dame and USC did play, and Texas and Vanderbilt did play.
I understand that.
And Miami and Notre Dame did play, but we're looking away from that.
Yeah, we don't. So, you know why Texas is ahead of Vanderbilt? You know what the committee said? Even though Texas has three losses. Yeah, because Texas beat them head to head. But do you know why Notre Dame's ahead of Miami?
Oh, they're in a different category.
Yeah, nobody knows. Because they played, and one team won, and that team's lower ranked. Nobody understands. All I'm saying, and maybe I didn't do the matchups perfectly here, I didn't write it all down because, you know, no news is broken this hour. My point is, imagine, like, what if Notre Dame, Miami, they got paired up and they played again and they actually settled it on the field to see who was going to get in? As opposed to, we think Miami's better, even though Notre Dame won. That stuff drives me nuts. Miami does have two really bad ACC losses that Notre Dame does not have. They lost to two top 10 teams by a combined 4 points. So I have an idea. Instead of arguing, let's play a football game. Does that make sense?
It makes sense.
It makes sense. Let's go to break.